Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, March 13, 2025, is by Bill Christian on the topic of How Important is the Future?
Good morning. How's the sound? So a funny thing happened this morning. I turned my computer on for that last check of things, and an ad popped up for church lecterns. That's pretty creepy. But then, you know, this is getting old, you know. I don't know. We could get free shipping on Amazon. I don't know. But anyway, that was interesting, and I wondered how they figured that one out. I wrote the word sermon in my document in Word on my own computer. Did they? Just a coincidence. And plus, I thought that church lecterns were altars or pulpits. Isn't a lectern more a corporate thing? Well, at any rate. So, I'd say that my religion is to make the world better for our children and their children. Yes, other species are important to me, but only as they make life better for us. And I'm sure this isn't fair, but I also realize that those other species are certainly way more important to us than we now understand. Or as Bill Staines sang it, all God's children got a place in the choir. I actually thought of we might try singing that, but the words come awfully fast for the UUs to do that thing they do where they read ahead and to see if they agree with the next line. I'll have to admit to being a bit of a zealot about this sustainability stuff. And most proper, self-respecting religious zealots can trace their journey back to some sort of an enlightenment. Abraham had his burning bush. The Blues Brothers were struck by lightning in a gospel church. I'm tracing my own enlightenment back to an eighth grade field trip. I don't think anyone was going to Paris or Cancun back there then, but my mill town certainly did not. A lot of my classmates were disappointed when the word came out. We were going to the new coal power plant in nearby Bow, New Hampshire. This actually sounded interesting to me, but of course I couldn't admit it. And it was interesting. A detailed explanation of how they turned coal into 350,000 kilowatts, enough to power half the homes in the state. It was a technological marvel. But near the end of the tour, they boasted that we burn 100 rail cars of coal a day. And I was disturbed by that. I'd watched the rail cars rumble through town carrying sand and gravel off to Boston, and they were big. It couldn't be right to burn so much, could it? And they must be doing the same thing all over the world. I had no perspective. Maybe this is insignificant. Maybe it was causing no harm. Maybe we could do that for 10,000 years. But I was suspicious. I was concerned. Was this a wait until mom gets home, we're going to be in big trouble situation? Well, fast forward 56 years, and it appears that my hunch was right for two reasons. First, there's only so much coal, oil, and gas on the planet. And it's the reason that 8 billion of us are able to survive today. So what will we do as it begins to run out? So we're on thin ice in that department. I've spent the 56 years since working on various ways to save energy. Do what you love and love what you do. So I have been lucky. And second, if we burn all that recoverable fossil fuel, it will permanently change our climate a lot. And we, like much of the life on Earth, evolved slowly to flourish in the climate that we have today, the climate that's existed for the last 6 million years. So either of those two issues, running out and climate change, either one seems like a showstopper to me, a scenario that should not be left to future generations. Future generations. When I think of future generations, I think and say our children, our grandchildren, because it makes it real to me. But I mean it generically as humanity's children, all our children. Life has always been about the children, always driven by one fiery force to safely launch the next generation. Have you ever seen a video of a mother giraffe fighting off a pride of lions to protect her baby? And until recently, the question of caring for our children was simple, a usually milder variation of that same giraffe mom, help them survive and prosper. For the last 3,700 million years, that's a long time, since plants and animals were created on day 3 and 5 of Genesis, respectively, This strategy has worked pretty well, at least for the species that have survived and are still around. Over that incredibly long period, plants and animals have changed the Earth dramatically. At first, there wasn't anywhere near enough oxygen to light a candle. We'd be in a bind. But blue-green algae came along, breathing in methane and taking in water, breathing out oxygen and carbon dioxide until there was enough oxygen for other life forms to develop. Then there was way too much carbon dioxide, way more than today, which made the world too hot for mammals but great for reptiles. No polar ice, and the steamy ocean was 200 feet higher than it is now. Luckily for us, but not for reptiles, the lush plants and the animals took in that carbon dioxide, died, and turned to coal, oil, and gas over a period of about 550 million years, and they locked up all that excess carbon away safely, and the Earth cooled to its present, mostly delightful condition. None of this life ever conscientiously chose to change the world. Stuff just happened as an indirect effect of its struggle to survive, to go forth and multiply. We humans used to fit that bill as well. In the Middle Ages, we drained swamps and cut forests at a pace that could, over millennia, have altered the Earth some. But in the Revolutionary Year of 1776, a Scottish engineer named James Watt, who has to be the inspiration for Scotty of Star Trek, really, I'm sure he was, perfected the steam engine, powered the Enterprise as well, and we began to dig up and burn those millions of years of fossil carbon. James Watt was Prometheus, freeing us from the limits of the power from animals, water, and wind. Since then, we've burned hundreds of billions of tons, raising the atmospheric CO2 almost 50% so far. And the scariest is that we've done about 80% of that just during my lifetime. And I'm pretty young. So suddenly, here we are today. Today, there's a species that actually understands what it's doing to the planet and can actually make intelligent decisions about the future. The future, we finally got back to that. We can consider the future beyond our immediate survival. So for the first time in its 4,500 million years, Mother Earth has a potential caregiver, a steward. So the next question is, how much do we consider the future, and how far into the future must we look? After all, it doesn't even exist yet, right? What if we make sacrifices, but things change and it turns out that those sacrifices were for nothing? Wouldn't that be terrible? As our fearless leader recently told the president of Ukraine, what if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? I'm not a philosopher, but I think that's called nihilism, and it doesn't appeal to me. I personally don't think that particular observation justifies surrendering to an invading dictator, as he was recommending. But I guess his point is, if nothing matters and if there's no hope, why not surrender just for brief respite? But I have not lost hope. Here's another thought experiment about decisions affecting the future. What if scientists come up with a pill that you can take so that your children will be born smarter, better looking, and longer lived, basically like Vermonters, but their children will be born with all sorts of serious problems, unable to even care for themselves? Well, that's an easy choice, isn't it? That's a no thanks, I assume. Show of hands. But the devil is in the details. And since this is a sermon, I should mention the devil at least once. So, what if their children were probably going to have those problems, or maybe would have those problems? What if scientists might come up with a solution before this issue comes home to roost? And the clincher, while everyone else is taking those pills, is it fair for my child to make her stand out for being below average, a loser? So we get trapped in these things. So back to, how much do we owe future generations? What should we forego for their benefit? And how long into the future do we contemplate? The Iroquois seven generations would be about 200 years, three lifetimes, or two. Is that too much or not enough? What about our descendants in 1,000 or 2,000 years or more? Isn't each life in 2,000 years in the future as worthy as one today? If someone had done something 2,000 years ago that was awful and severely degraded the world I'm living in today, I'd be pretty upset. But they did not have that power back then. They could not do the harm that we can do today as we return all those billions of tons of carbon dioxide back into the air and rapidly run through the energy that feeds and powers us and gives most of the world's population today a standard of living that is very clearly superior to that enjoyed by Louis XIV, the Sun King. Except for all the adulation, I guess that's worth a lot. But he couldn't get a tooth filled with Novocaine. I see the question of how important is the future? What do we owe the future? As covering a wide range from everything, we must do all we can which is where I'm coming from, to nothing. Just do what's best for us today. And I know people who feel the second way, and I can accept many of the reasons. Notably, it's too late, people are too greedy, and will never change, which is grim, but it may well be correct. Another is, humans are amazing, and we'll just figure it out. Fusion, or thorium, or Nikola Tesla's secret energy, high-tech geoengineering, recapturing all that carbon and putting it back in the ground, those things will save us. This is kind of a Hail Mary, too shaky for me to bet the farm on. And of course, there will be an apocalypse. Most of us will die, and the problem will take care of itself. The earth will be fine without us. But I wonder, really, can't we do better than that? I have less patience with other reasons, such as the end times are coming soon, so what's the problem? And climate change is a hoax, and our fossil fuel will last forever. A middle-of-the-road approach is, we owe something to our children, unto the seventh generation and beyond, and I'm going to do what I can fairly easily do. Or, as Shakespeare put it, dost thou think, because thou art virtuous, that there shall be no more cakes and ale? And I guess I'm okay with this. Realistically, what more can or will we do? Yet I want to push harder. In particular, when I read something like the UUA Ministry for Earth discussing intersectional climate justice organizing principles, I cringe a bit and I want to yell, but are you burning less fuel? Having retired just 2 days ago, I'm already embracing my inner crabby old man. I just don't want us to get too comfortable with sustainability, letting it become a buzzword. We must remember that it actually means living in a way that can be lived forever by our descendants. And that's actually a very tall order. How do we do it? There's an incredibly long list of things we can do to be more sustainable. Some are so simple. Don't boil more water than you actually need for tea. And be sure those storm windows are closed up tight in the fall. Some are much bigger. Having fewer children is the number one thing that you can do. Our dependence on gasoline, our need to heat our big old homes, and our jet travel, which I've done extensively for my energy-saving work in California, and so many intermediate things that could be done with only minor inconvenience. How many of us could have carpooled here today? The reason we use fossil fuel, so much fossil fuel, is very simple. It's cheap and powerful. It makes life easy. To heat twice the water we need for a cup of tea costs us half a cent. That's barely noticeable. Certainly no need to worry about that. A gallon of gas costs $3.15, and we complain, but it will push us 35 miles up and down hills in comfort in a 3,000-pound car. Would we walk or bike 4 miles to avoid paying the 36 cents we'd save on gasoline? Will we hang out our laundry to save 25 cents of propane? The cost of fracked gas to generate 19 cents worth of electricity, which is 1 kilowatt hour, costs only 1 or 2 cents. Solar and wind must compete with that, and they are to some extent with some success, but should a company have the right to burn that dirt cheap natural gas to make electricity when they are permanently degrading the air that belongs to all of us and to our children unto the seventh generation? This reason that we burn so much fossil fuel could be turned on its head with something called a carbon tax. You gradually raise the cost of fossil fuel, gradually pushing people to make better choices to reduce or eliminate its use. The final goal of that is to make fossil fuel unaffordable for all but the few things where there's no other option. This is hard on lower income people. It's hard on the middle class. I've heard, but what about grandma? How will she afford 1,500 gallons of oil to stay at the old farm? To which I say, if she can afford to burn 1,500 gallons of oil, she'll burn it and we'll lose the battle to save our children. I can think of maybe five other options for grandma which will allow us to win this and for her to stop burning that oil. And yes, this requires sacrifice. As Jimmy Carter said in 1977, the energy crisis was the moral equivalent of war, meaning that great sacrifice was justified. Even human lives are sacrificed in war. People made fun of him for that. They said, moral equivalent of war? That's meow. But Jimmy Carter was right. Can we rise to his challenge? So where are we now? World oil usage has leveled off at 100 million barrels a day. After decades of exponential growth, does that mean the fact that it's only leveled off, it's not falling, does that mean that these solar panels aren't working? No, it means that it has canceled out the needs of 64 million additional people each year and a great many millions of people emerging from poverty, abject poverty every year, and buying scooters, propane cook stoves, getting electricity. And then there's all those new data centers going up all over the world. Without solar and wind, our fossil fuel use would be much higher and growing faster. However, leveling off is not enough. Can we do more? Is it our responsibility? What will the future be? Can we bend the future to our will?